You're listening to Expansion on RepublicBroadcasting.org. This is Sophia, your host, and we're starting our second hour with All Is One Heart song, My Guest. All Is One, I'm very happy that you mentioned that spectrum, the positive and negative variations of emotions that address past, present, future, and self. This was some of what I was scribbling frantically in my first conversation with you, and I repeated it to so many people, and believe me, the light goes on.
Yeah, right.
Many of these activists, I shouldn't say these activists as though they're a bunch of, you know, rats running around. I'm considered one of them, but many activists are lodged in worry and fear.
Yeah.
And anger and I suppose grievance, anger, resentment, blame, all those feelings would invalidate, basically, the past, all of history. And you can register yourself, you taught me in our first conversation, on one side of that spectrum or the other. In other words, you can look back at your past with your past or the world's past with these very angry feelings and assign a ton of blame to many sources of activity. Or you can be grateful, right? Grateful for all that has happened and the fact that you're waking up to it.
Yeah.
And so the future, the same. The fear that the people have, shall I buy gold or shall I buy a lot of food or where should I go? Should I get off the grid? What are we going to do when it all comes down on our heads? It has come down on our heads. We're in that, and we've always been. So to have fear is, I would guess, invalidation, as you said, of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, when you asked me how I felt on this interview, I said I was looking forward, how I was going to start it. I was looking forward to, I was excited about the way it was going to unfold. And you also taught me in that first talk that excitement is a way to validate the future.
That's right. Excitement and enthusiasm are the two different words for the same thing.
Right. So now, if you tell activists, well, you should be excited about the future, you would get very questionable look, you know?
Right.
You'd get skepticism, you'd get a lot of, I would, you know, I'm going to try that from now on for a little while as an experiment.
Okay.
But you should be excited about World War III. How can we be excited about this future?
That's another good question. I'd like to begin this second half of our sharing by first commenting that we've covered a lot of territory during the first hour, and thanks to the excellent questions that you have come up with. You have a talent for coming up with key questions that really open up the opportunity for meaningful sharing. And as a result of your excellent questions, we have covered an enormous amount of territory during the first hour, which means that we can kind of relax and just allow the remainder to be covered very easily in the second half. Now, I want to call attention to the fact that I'm continually laughing. Why am I continually laughing? The reason is because when we deal with judgment, we get out of alignment. Judgment brings us out of alignment with our source, with our inner being. And as Saint Germain used to say to me, laughter is the great aligner. Let me repeat that. Laughter is the great aligner. Why is laughter such a great aligner? When we get out of alignment and we laugh, we bring ourselves back into alignment. Why is that? It's because
we are going to have to get the answer on the other side of our break.
Oh.
And we'll have our long spell then.
Okay, we'll pause again. Thank you.
You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN Network. This is Sophia, your host, and today our guest is All Is One Heart Song, who is about to give us an answer. Do you want to continue?
Sure, I'm right with you, Sophia. These repeated interruptions are actually an opportunity to practice lighthearted laughter. So the question that I want to follow through with is, why is laughter the great aligner, which is something that I learned from St. Germain back in 1987 when he was coming into my life as a key mentor, teaching me many things and eventually giving me the name All Is One Heart Song. The name All Is One Heart Song I received from the Ascended Master St. Germain after going through intensive initiation with him for many years. Okay, as we have said earlier, we're living in a world of illusion in the third dimension on planet Earth, and the tendency is for the mind to take it all very seriously, with the result that we become heavy-hearted. So in order to break out of that heavy-hearted orientation of taking the world of illusion so seriously, we use laughter to align the tendency to get out of alignment with judgments, because judgment closes the heart, as we've said. So in order to open the heart and become lighthearted, we use laughter. What does laughter mean? What is humor? What is laughter? The meaning of laughter, the meaning of humor, is we don't have to take this world of illusion so seriously. If we don't have a sense of humor and we take this world of illusion very seriously and become heavy-hearted, we are in serious trouble. We have a great deal of difficulty living in this world if we are heavy-hearted and have lost our sense of humor. So cultivating a sense of humor and developing a light-hearted attitude that doesn't take this world of illusion so seriously is a real key to finding our way through this labyrinth that we call the third dimension on planet Earth.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
Yes, I can appreciate that. I'm not trying to find holes in it, but I'm trying to think about how laughter has typically been used in our culture.
Yeah.
And so much of laughter today concentrates around entertainment. I think there is a, you know, the dark Illuminati, as you call them, have created an industry of entertainment that furnishes us with the opportunity to laugh. But it's a different kind of laughter. It's not the spontaneous humor that occurs throughout life, throughout our day, that we stumble into and can use as a release. So I wanted to bring in the reference to the dark Illuminati.
Sure,
you use that so often in your emails. I'm on your list.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a good time to do that?
Yeah, that's fine. As I said before, I invite you to take the lead, and I'll be happy to follow your lead, Sophia. Not a problem. Okay, the dark Illuminati use many different techniques to intimidate and subjugate and ultimately mislead and destroy humanity. They are very skilled at using fear and deception and coercion to mislead and subjugate humanity. And one of the ways that they do that is ridicule. Now, ridicule is not lighthearted laughter. Ridicule is laughing at someone in a very judgmental way. So you could say, whereas most laughter is a way of releasing judgment, ridicule, making fun of people and ridiculing them, is a very judgmental way of dealing with people. And if we judge people and ridicule them, we are imprisoning ourselves with those judgments. So ridicule is a very special kind of laughter, and the dark Illuminati, the negative dark workers who are trying to subjugate humanity over many, many years, are experts at using fear and ridicule and deception to mislead people, and of course many people fall into the trap of joining in the ridicule without realizing that in judging through ridicule, they are imprisoning themselves.
Yes, and so in a sense then I want to discern between institutionalized laughter and natural laughter.
It's a good distinction. Yeah,
yeah. And so the clown, the circus clown, what category does that fall into?
It's a good question. It all depends upon how the clown is using the laughter. There are lighthearted clowns, and there are I want to find the right word for this. I'll say this. From my point of view, all dark workers are clowns. Not in the sense of lighthearted clowns, but in the sense of heavy-hearted clowns. What do I mean by that? All dark workers are clowns. Okay. I'll have to take a step back in order to get this communicated clearly. Imagine a sun sending out radiating sunbeams into the darkness. Imagine yourself as one of the sunbeams that is radiating out from the sun into the darkness. That's our situation. As long as we are a sunbeam radiating out into the darkness, we are what is called a dark worker. We are in separation consciousness, because as we radiate out into the darkness further and further, we experience ourselves as being more and more separate from our source and separate from one another. Imagine sunbeams radiating out into the darkness, becoming further and further away, not only from their source, but from one another. That's the situation of the dark worker, that is unaware of the source and in the illusion of separation from one another. But the key thing to understand is that any sunbeam at any moment can turn around and look into the sun, into the light, and realize that all sunbeams are coming from the same source, that we're all connected with one another. That's another way of describing what it means to wake up. To wake up means to be a sunbeam that shifts from looking out into the darkness through our sensations, looking into the light through, let's say, meditation, and realizing that we're all part of one whole, that we're all sunbeams of one sun. That's the process of waking up, realizing that we're not really separate from one another, we're not really separate from our source, that's just the illusion. The reality is that we're all sunbeams of one source, and at any time we can choose to look into the light and fly into the sun and become one with the sun. That's what life is all about. Making a choice between being a dark worker, moving out into the darkness in separation consciousness, or being a light worker, moving into the light in unity consciousness. That's the key distinction. What this means is that dark workers are in the illusion of being separate from their source. That typically takes the form of being atheistic or agnostic and not really acknowledging the source of our being. That's why I say all dark workers are, by definition, clowns, not in the lighthearted sense, but in the heavy-hearted sense. All dark workers are clowns who are disacknowledging the source of their being, which is a stupid, foolish, unwise thing to do.
Well, wait, aren't you judging? Aren't you judging heavily right now?
That sounds like judgment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's something that we all go through, and I feel strongly about it, and I'm expressing that feeling in a way that could be defined or perceived as judgment, but I know that the reality is that we all, as sunbeams of one sun, go through the experience of being dark workers, disacknowledging our source and moving into the darkness, and then sooner or later waking up and looking into the light and realizing that we're all part of one whole.
Okay, I want to put this differently, and I haven't really ever said this before. But
go ahead.
When we're little and we're born, we need our mommy because she's our source, right?
Yeah.
And we need her. We're always turning to her and crying for her and wanting her. And the older we get, we are actually traveling through linear time and through our lives away from our source. So it's almost as though we are becoming separated dark workers by the simple process of living our lives.
Excellent.
It's estranging us from our biological source.
Right.
And what we have to do to compensate for that is to look around us and realize that we're all connected. There are a lot of us doing this. And start feeling and finding the connection amongst ourselves, the making friends and associating with people is all about unity and bonding, but it's not with our original biological mother or family, because the longer we live, the more we move away from them, and the less we talk, and we're not living with them anymore. So I see our lives as a sort of automatic way of alienating us, and we have to do something to find the togetherness.
That's a brilliant observation, Sophia.
Well, thank you.
A brilliant observation that I'll follow up on by saying...
After our break.
Okay, after
our
break.
We have the break again.
Good enough.
Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to Expansion on RepublicBroadcasting.org, the RBN Network. I am Sophia, your host, and my guest is All Is One Heart Song. And we are talking about, I mentioned life itself estranging us from source, our biological source.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm right with you, Sophia, and we're doing great. Let me begin by sharing my choice as to how I experience these multiple breaks that we're going through. I have a choice as to whether to experience the breaks as interruptions or as welcome opportunities to gather my thoughts and feelings. And so what I'm doing every time we have a break is I'm making that choice not to be in judgment of the breaks, but to welcome and appreciate the breaks as opportunities to align and gather my thoughts and feelings. Okay, now we're ready to proceed with the question of why is this world of illusion so difficult for us to understand and deal with? It's a very simple principle that I'd like to proceed to describe now for you. The world that we're living in, this third-dimensional world of illusion on planet Earth, is a reverse mirror image of who we really are. Let me explain that. Who we really are is characterized by the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions of consciousness, representing the fourth, fifth, and sixth chakras. In the fourth chakra, which is love, and the fifth chakra, which is power, and the sixth chakra, which is wisdom, we experience who we really are. But as long as the heart chakra is closed through judgments, we are unable to experience who we really are, and we're forced to misperceive ourselves in the illusion of separation consciousness. More specifically, the first dimension, which is the physical. We're born as helpless babies. So we begin life as helpless babies. The second chakra, second dimension, is the judgmental emotions. And the third chakra, the third dimension, is the mind, which is at the beginning of life ignorant, not wise, not informed. So the key thing to understand is that we begin life in the third dimension of consciousness on planet Earth as ignorant, helpless, and judgmental. Helpless as physical babies, judgmental, which we learn from our parents and friends in the second chakra, and then ignorant in our minds so that it requires many years of learning to overcome. So we begin life in this world of illusion, as helpless babies who are ignorant and judgmental, and only by opening the heart chakra and waking up can we move into the higher dimensions of consciousness, which are love on the fourth dimension, power on the fifth dimension, and wisdom in the sixth dimension. That's why people have so much difficulty in this world, because the world that we're living in, this world of illusion, gives us a reverse mirror image of who we really are. Think of yourself standing in front of a mirror in the bathroom and seeing that the mirror image is the complete reverse of who you really are. You lift up your right hand and the image in the mirror lifts up its left hand. That reverse mirror image is the situation that we find ourselves in this world of illusion. And that's why we have to wake up and discover that we're not who we thought we were.
And through that discovery, what happens to the nature or appearance of the physical world around us, that illusory world?
That's a good question. The question is, how do we deal with this reverse mirror image? And the answer is, we keep our sense of humor and don't take it so seriously. So when the outer mind expresses an attitude of helplessness or fear or ignorance, the appropriate attitude to develop is to respond to the mind with its feeling of fear and helplessness and ignorance by saying, thank you very much for your reflection. I understand that you're a reverse mirror image of who I really am. Once we learn how to do that, once we learn how to deal with the lower dimensions of consciousness with a sense of humor, we're on our way to mastery. Mastery means freeing ourselves from the reverse mirror image that is created by the illusion in the lower dimensions. And that means keeping our sense of humor. That's why having a sense of humor is so essential to achieving mastery.
So let me bring up, because an impulse tells me to do so.
Sure, go ahead.
The deterioration of the financial market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems like I'm throwing this boomerang into our conversation, and I wonder if this is our break music, so I'll pick up again and I'll gather my thoughts about it for these next few minutes.
Great, I'm right with you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Expansion on RepublicBroadcasting.org, the RBN Network. I'm Sophia, your host, and I'm speaking with All Is One Heart Song. Now, All Is One, I asked you about the deterioration of the financial markets, and I'm going to use your reverse mirror image as a way of, as a lens through which we can examine this or consider it. So let's say the deterioration of the financial markets is actually a reverse mirror image of what's really happening.
Very good.
Now, I'm looking at something you sent out this morning with which I believe you're familiar. And it says that novelty, it's talking about novelty. The term novelty refers to the phenomenon that incidents of novelty exponentially increase as systems enter into a state of chaos. So we're looking at chaos, which means that novelty will be born from this. And novelty is the, I would say, principle from which we can experience a whole new rearrangement of this system that has been one of manipulation and compression and subjugation and has made us all into financial slaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to pick up from there about this novelty?
Great. You're a wonderful interviewer, Sophie. I'm really enjoying this sharing. I really mean that.
Thank you.
You have a gift and a talent, and I'm really enjoying our sharing. Okay. Let's begin with the fact that we are at a pivotal point in human history where the old system that we've been living in is dying, and a whole new world is in the process of being born that most people are totally unaware of as yet. Once we understand that the dying of the old world and the birthing of the new world is creating chaos at this pivotal point in human history, we can then begin to understand what's really happening. And a simple way of expressing it is it's like a hurricane. So what do you do if you find yourself in a hurricane? You choose to be at the eye of the hurricane, which is the calm, still center. And that requires skill. That requires mastery. If we choose to be in the eye of the hurricane, that means that we're choosing not to be upset or thrown out of balance by the chaos that is being created as the old world dies and the new world is being born. That's mastery. To be a master is to be able to be in the eye of the hurricane and allow all of the chaos to swirl around you without being thrown, without being frightened by it. Okay. Let's see how to proceed here. Let me begin the next thought with this formulation. The third grade, the third dimension of planet Earth, third dimensional consciousness, is actually a schoolroom, the graduation of which causes us to become ascended masters. Planet Earth is a schoolroom, the graduates of which are called ascended masters. What that means is that we're all going through grades of learning and growing, making choices and experiencing the consequences. And as we learn and grow by making our choices and experiencing the consequences, we pass through a series of grades that culminate in graduation. Right now, humanity is going through its final examination prior to graduation. We are at a pivotal point. We're not in the ordinary time on planet Earth. We're in the pivotal point. Final examination before graduation is where humanity is. And humanity is responding to this by waking up. From here on, humanity is going to be waking up very rapidly to this chaos that is occurring at present as the old world dies and the new world is being born. Okay. Once we understand that we're all going through initiation, we can then understand that there's a purpose to the chaos. The chaos is not accidental. The dark workers are doing their job, and the light workers are doing their job. What is the job of the dark workers? To create chaos through fear and judgment. And what is the task of the light worker? The task of the light worker is to reveal the truth that will bring everything into alignment. So dark workers use deception and lies to create chaos, and light workers reveal the truth in order to bring everything into alignment. And that's what's going on at present. It's a contest. What we're experiencing at present is a contest between dark workers who deceive and coerce and light workers who reveal the truth and bring chaos into alignment. It's a contest between dark workers and light workers. Dark workers are uncivilized human beings who engage in deception and coercion. And light workers are civilized human beings who renounce the use of deception and coercion and use truth to bring order out of chaos. So that's where we're at. We're at a pivotal point where the old world is dying, the new world is being born, and out of the chaos will come a whole new reality within the next few years. We're at that pivotal point where, up until this point, it seemed like a downward spiral, and from here on, it's going to be an upward spiral so that we have a great positive future ahead of us. And that's good news for all of humanity.
Well, I really take heart from what you're saying, and maybe that's why your name is what it is. All is one heart song.
Yes.
This is not, light. I believe this is very, much the core of what we're all about. In fact, I was thinking yesterday as I was driving why you chose heart song instead of love song. You could have been all is one love song, because that's what it really is also.
I didn't really choose that name. I was given that name by Saint Germain in 1991, and Saint Germain knew what he was doing when he invited me to take that name, which has been a very joyful process of learning to live up to that name, because it not only opens the heart with the heart song last name, but it focuses on the fact that we are all part of one whole. We're all is one. I have a lot of fun with that name because people will ask me, what's your name? And I'll say, all is one. And they'll say, yeah, but what's your name?
I know, because yesterday I told someone I was doing an interview with All Is One Heart Song, and she said, but who are you interviewing?
Right.
I said, All Is One Heart Song. That's his name. That's who he is. But, all right, so here's something else.
Okay.
So if All Is One Heart Song, you were given this name. I just want to clarify for the audience that you are getting information from a source, that Saint Germain is a living source in your life, and I think you get it through channeling, right?
Yeah, the key thing to say about that is that between 1987 and 1991, Saint Germain, the I Am presence of the Ascended Master Saint Germain, which is 13th dimensional consciousness, much more than 7th dimensional consciousness, that I Am presence of Saint Germain was coming through a full body channel by the name of Azina Ramanda, and I had the good fortune of being able to have something like 24 private sessions with Saint Germain through Azina, in addition to which I then went through a whole year of intensive initiation by Saint Germain in the hills of Santa Barbara, which is a long story I won't try to go into now, but suffice it to say that since 1987, Saint Germain has been one of my two primary mentors, Archangel Gabriel being the other one, who came into my life in 1982 to tell me in advance, in 1982, that beginning in 1987, humanity would be going through a time of chaos and reorientation, tribulation, prior to the planetary ascension process. I'm profoundly blessed to have mentors like Saint Germain and Gabrielle to help me wake up.
Okay. Yes. Now, I know that at one point you were guided, I'll use the word, not instructed, to cut up your credit cards and completely shut down your old life and move to Mount Shasta. And this is a very, abbreviated way of of describing it. But when I read that in your book, All Is One has sent me, this is for the audience, a couple of versions, a smaller and then an expanded version of his autobiography, and I came upon that and I went, wow, I don't know if everyone could do that so easily. Just say, okay, I'm not going to be a psychologist anymore. I'm going to dissolve my old life. I'm going to cut up my credit cards, not use them, not have any possessions, get rid of all my clothes, and go and put myself in the hands of this guidance.
Okay, let me first say that I'm not dependent upon Germaine and Gabrielle because I have my own higher self. The name of my higher self is Kumara Zoroastrian. That's a sixth-dimensional light body that is in charge of my life, and my soul is known as Zoramuel. So on the ninth dimension, my name is Zoramuel. On the sixth dimension, it's Kumara Zoroastrian. On the third dimension, it's All Is One Heart Song. And that's why, as a multidimensional being, I'm awake to who I really am. I'm no longer under the illusion of being a human being having occasional spiritual experiences. I know that I'm a spiritual being having some human experiences, and that makes all the difference in the world. When we wake up to the fact that we are spiritual beings who have chosen to have a human experience, then we're on our way to mastery.
And how do we find out all our different aspects of being on these different dimensions, like you did?
The mind can't do it except to surrender to spirit. Once the mind realizes that it can't figure things out by itself and becomes humble. Let's say once the ego has been humbled and the mind is taking a humble orientation of surrendering to spirit, then spirit begins to reveal itself through the higher dimensions of consciousness, and it happens spontaneously. It's not anything that you can make happen. It's not even something that you can choose to have happen except to choose to surrender to spirit and trust spirit, and then spirit, once you have that orientation of surrendering, trusting, and allowing, then your higher self will begin to come into your life and manifest the reality of who you really are.
You know, All Is One, many years ago, after I read a few novels, I realized that the Native Americans had a whole different way of naming themselves.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided to give myself an Indian name.
Good.
And I called myself April Many Levels.
Wonderful.
Because I was born in April, and I realized that to really grow, I had to do work on many levels.
Right, you are.
But then, now that I've begun this new line of operation with, you know, consciousness and this political dissemination of political information, everything that I'm doing with my website 911 We Know and 9/11 Mysteries and now these interviews, I realize that it's been redefined again. I am April Many Levels because I am doing work on many levels, not just within myself. Now I'm going out. And the name I gave to myself, it was kind of like almost a joke in a way. I don't like to, that's not really the right word, but
it's playful.
It was playful, yes. But then I realized, no, this is meaningful. And now look, it's like a flashlight showing me my future. And so I feel a good connection with that name and that purpose. So anyway, I just thought I would introduce that we all have, we could give ourselves an Indian name.
Okay, I want to respond to what you're saying by sharing with you and everyone that the aim and purpose of my life is to facilitate the awakening, enlightenment, and planetary ascension of humanity. That's why I have incarnated into this lifetime, to assist humanity in waking up, becoming enlightened, and participating in the planetary ascension process during the last 4 years of the 25-year process of planetary ascension that began in 1987 and will be completed in 2012, just 4 years from now. We're in a very exciting time where the future is glorious, and most people are not yet aware of the fact that the new world is being born even as the old world is dying. So it's a very exciting time to be alive. There's one more thing I want to say before we get to the closure here, which we're rapidly approaching. I want to pick up on the fact that my autobiography is in the process of being created and published and made available in 5 volumes. I wrote the first volume initially at the age of 79, in about 1997 that was. And during the past 10 years, I've been keeping a journal which allows me to create 5 volumes of autobiography that will soon be available. There are 2 volumes that are already available, the first volume and the fourth volume. The first volume is called Awaken and Arise, and the fourth volume is called Channeling the Apocalypse. And I'm in the process of publishing the second volume, and then the third volume, and then finally the fifth volume. So I've been guided by my higher self to create 5 volumes of autobiography, which is an account of my spiritual journey into our planetary ascension process.
All right, and on the other side of the break, maybe you can tell us how people can obtain those volumes.
Okay.
You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host, and I'm concluding my wonderful time here with All Is One Heart Song, and I hope that we can have you back.
I'll be happy to participate anytime you like.
Thank you. Now, we were going to tell the audience how they might obtain the different volumes of your autobiography.
Okay, let me begin by repeating what I said earlier, which is that the aim and purpose of my life is to facilitate the awakening, the enlightenment, and the planetary ascension of humanity. That's what I'm all about. Now, I want to emphasize that I'm not on an ego trip. I'm not concerned with promoting myself. I'm not concerned with making money. The purpose of publishing my autobiography, which my higher self has asked me to do, is simply to provide humanity with some of the keys to spiritual enlightenment. It's not just a story of a lifetime. That's not what's important. What's important is all of the fundamental principles that can be used to create spiritual enlightenment or to wake up. That's what my autobiography is really all about, the process of waking up. The first volume and the fourth volume are already published and are just in the process of becoming available through online distributors such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so forth. So from here on, we're again at a pivotal point in terms of the awakening of humanity and in terms of my autobiography. We're just at the point where my autobiography will become available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other distributors. We're exactly at that point where it's going to be available. And I encourage people to find their own path to waking up and becoming spiritually enlightened and making the choice to participate in the planetary ascension process that will be obvious during the next 4 years as humanity wakes up very rapidly. I think that's all I need to say.
Yes, well, you have a website, planetaryascension.net.
Thank you for mentioning that, right.
Yes, and maybe that's a place people can go to see more of your work.
There are about 300, I guess over 300 articles on that website that I've created during the past several years. PlanetaryAscension.net is the address.
Yes, and then maybe they can find the titles of your work, your autobiography volumes, and then the way to properly put in your name in Amazon, All is One Heart Song.
No, let me emphasize, the autobiography is in the name of Arthur Earl Jones, Ph.D., rather than All is One Heart Song. I had a long discussion with Archangel Gabriel about that, and he emphasized that I needed to use my name, Arthur Earl Jones, Ph.D., in order to get the attention that was needed. And so even though I hadn't been using the name Arthur Earl Jones, Ph.D. for 20 years, I followed Gabrielle's advice and published my autobiography in the name of Arthur Earl Jones, Ph.D., rather than All Is One Heart Song.
All right. Well, let's clarify the spelling of Earl. It's P-A-R-L. So Arthur Earl Jones will be the way that people can find All Is One's books on Amazon.
Yeah, more specifically, Arthur Earl Jones, Ph.D., is the way I can be found on the Internet.
All right, great. Thank you for that. And thank you so much for this amazing interview. I hope I'm not speaking in superlatives.
Superlative.
We're going to conclude very shortly, and you're going to come back. I know it.
Okay, I'd like to, as a final thought, I'd like to encourage...